When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, what's going on? I actually didn't bring my mug today. Waiting for everybody to join. What's up everyone? Waiting to get started. What's up? Say hi, where are you joining from guys? Let me know. What up people? We've got a very special day today. My girl, hello gorgeous, hello. I'm loving these hellos. We've got a very special episode today. My girl, Nejra Zabayan, is here, guys. She wrote this book and I've had her on now probably like three years, maybe like eight times or something like that. Hello from Germany, Canada, from Cali, Colorado, Italy. What up, Italy? I literally just had an entire discussion with my husband about Italy because we went there for our honeymoon. Went to Venice, Rome and Sardinia. What up, California, South Africa, Atlanta. Waiting for everybody to join. Get your questions ready because I got my girl, Nejra Zabayan, here today to cover all the things about her book and anything else that you guys may be struggling with. Okay, so just saying hi to people, let them join, and then let's just see. Get your questions ready. You're going to New York soon. Iraq, India, what up, guys? London. Right, waiting for my girl to join. Nejra, where are ya? Ah!
Hello. When you said you've had me for 3 years straight, the first thing I thought when you said three, I was like, I've been on like 7 or 8 times and then you said times at 3 years and I'm like, yeah, 3 years, actually 4 years since 2019, and I've been on, I can't count.
That's amazing. Yeah. Right. We're gonna wait, guys, we are here answering questions, so drop them. If you see a little question mark at the bottom, click that, type in your question and Nejra's gonna get to them today. Girl, I just want to actually start though with a little story for people of when I first met you. So we were at a very good friend's surprise birthday party,
yeah.
And I'd never met you before, and you came up to me and it was like these group of women, I think we were like, I was around maybe two or three other women, and you just came up and you just started talking. And I remember that moment so clearly because number one, I think growing up for myself, being female, going up to a group of women, like I would have been very nervous. I would have been, you know, do I fit in? And so I was very impressed with your confidence and just coming up and like, hi, how are you? And you introduced yourself. And then secondly, it was the first time I'd ever met somebody who had such beautiful ways of expressing yourself, the way that you think, the way that you feel in this, as people already probably know your work, super like, genuine authenticness, but it doesn't mess about. Like you don't just try to say nice words for nice sake. I actually love that you say the truth. You give tips and feedback on, you know, how to get over the struggles that you've gone through. And so this book right now, like, it's so beautiful. Our episode actually drops this Wednesday. So guys, if you're watching, go check it out this Wednesday. But everything that you say in this book is written in such a gorgeous way, but you don't hold back any punches. You're always very honest and always very upfront about how to deal with change, evolution, getting over manipulative relationships and things like that. So tell me a bit about this book. And also, guys, we are waiting for you guys to ask questions. So I'll bring up a couple of questions in a minute. But why don't you just tell us, what was the catalyst for this book?
Well, first of all, thank you for all your very sweet words. I do remember the first time we met, exactly where we were. And I remember just seeing you for the first time in real life. And I had seen some of your videos on Instagram. And I was like, this woman emanates so much positive, courageous energy in person. Because you can't really tell over social media. You're always like, this person is great. But when I met you, I was like, she's real. And I love that. So I'm so happy that I went up to you that day, and thank you for your kind words. You know me, you and I always talk. Like when you say, how are you? I'm like, I'm going to tell you everything. I don't usually hold back. And that's exactly what I wanted to do in The Only Constant. Because what had happened was I knew I wanted to write a book about change because I was at a point in my life where I was very close to finishing my doctorate. And I had always been in school. I had always been like, what's the next thing I need to achieve? Because that's where I got my sense of identity from. Mm. So I'm approaching the end of the last program I could do in school. And I knew that my life was going to be not one of extreme, you know, accomplishments and milestones. And I was having a bit of an identity crisis because as much as I know I'm not somebody who defines myself by what I do, especially after everything I've learned about myself and life and people and relationships, I knew that once that one thing that I was chasing after was over, I was going to go through the day-to-day, what am I doing with my life? I'm not chasing after something anymore. So close to the end of that, I got the news that my grandma passed away and I was devastated. Like when that happened, it kind of nudged me in a way that woke me up to what's really important in life. Because the love I used to get from my grandma was completely unconditional. Like I was going back to memories of during my childhood when I would go over to their house and immediately she would go to the back room and get me a plate of my most favorite fruits and sweets and any kind of food that I loved. And she would put my hands in her hands and then my head in her lap. And she would start like stroking my hair and saying these like religious verses of protection. Like she really wanted me to stay protected and for no one to, you know, we believe in the evil eye. I don't know if you do, but I know it's in many cultures, it's present, right? Like you wear the blue thing around
blue
your,
eye, yeah.
Put it on your necklace. Yeah, we believe in that. So she always wanted to keep me safe and protected. And I was thinking of that kind of love that I always had available to me. And I was like, I focused on all the other things except for that. And now that's no longer there. I can never go back to Lebanon and know that my grandma was going to be there. It hit me in such a way that all the things that seemed so big just became so small. And I knew I had to make these big changes in my life. So I was already contemplating writing The Only Constant. It wasn't called The Only Constant. It was going to be more about how do I get from point A to point B. But then after all of this happened, I was like, this has to be a book about how to navigate any kind of change. Mm-hmm. Change that happens to us that we don't want, like someone we love dying or walking away from us, or we have to walk away from them. Losing a job, losing a certain title we thought, you know, we could never be someone without that title, and changes that we choose for ourselves. Because I've always struggled with, once I decide there's something I want to do, where do I start and how do I do it? And how do I actually let go of the identity I thought I couldn't live without? And then most importantly, changes we need to make to live an authentic life. Because everybody listening here knows this. We all fall asleep thinking of certain things that we absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt we need to do in our lives. Walking away from certain people, walking away from certain environments, going after a certain thing that we really want. But, you know, we fall asleep thinking about it and fantasizing about it. And then we wake up in the morning and it's the same helpless feeling. Why haven't I done that? And then we start to judge ourselves. So I wanted the book to be about those three types of change. Changes that we don't choose, changes that we do choose, and changes we need to make. So that was the birth of The Only Constant.
Yeah. All right, anyone listening, guys, just in case, The Only Constant, it's out this week, right?
Yes, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah. So anyone listening, they definitely need to go check it out. And then there was one, and actually we've got amazing questions. So guys, do stay tuned because we've got some really fire questions that I want Nejra to answer, not to put you on the spot, girl, but they're going to be really strong.
Put me on the spot.
Yeah, girl. The one thing I want to add though is what's interesting is that as people approach this, I assume they have to have a look at their perspective of what change means. Because sometimes as you go to change or someone in your life changes, someone will throw in your face, oh, you've changed. Like it's a bad thing. Like it's an insult. Like that's a, you know, like it's, you're going against the family. And so let's orient people on the fact that change can and is necessary in order to go for that dream that you want. If you don't have it already, then you have, you know, definition of sanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So even the word change and embracing that that's going to get you something, even though it's going to be uncomfortable initially.
Yes. So when we usually think about change, it's so scary because it's uncertain. I think to myself, as almost every person in the comment section or who's tuning in right now or any person in the world, when you think of change, it takes you out of your comfort zone. And the way I talked about it in The Only Constant is imagine that every single day you take the same road to your job or to wherever it is that you go every single day. You take the same road, you know exactly what's on every side, you know where the street lights are, where a stop sign is, where if you get hungry, what restaurants are good ones. When you change, you know very well that that road is going to be very different. The stop signs are going to be at different locations. They might even not be stop signs. They might be called something else. The street lights might be different. The rules might be different. So that scares you, not because you don't want it, but because you're so attached to knowing. You know the results. And you and I actually talked about this on our episode when you said to me, better the devil you know. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
How about better the angel you don't know? Better the peace you don't know? Better the healthy relationship, the purposeful job, career? Better the great family relationships that you make with people who maybe aren't even blood related to you, but you just don't know what it feels like until you try it. So the scary part is the uncertainty. I don't know where that road leads. I would rather go on a road that I know leads to a very bad place because I know how to deal with that bad place. Mm-hmm. I've been there before. I know what I need to do to protect myself. So that's why change scares us so much, because it's different. And if we took the time to think that different, uncertain thing actually being good for us, actually being something that we enjoy. So if you take a moment right now to think of your most ideal life and what would it look like, that's the uncertain. But we always think the uncertain is going to be the worst possible case scenario, which is if I don't go on this familiar path that I know, and I change it to the unfamiliar path, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to feel out of place. I'm going to not have any people around me because those people on this road who I abandoned or abandoned me aren't there anymore. But it's like, look at all the people who might walk into your life that never existed up here, that you never thought could walk into your life. So one thing I say in The Only Constant is, what if the safety net appears after you jump? We usually want to jump knowing that we're going to be held and caught, like there's going to be a safe destination we're going to get. But what if that safety net, that holding, comes after we take the risk of changing? It is absolutely necessary. If you want a different life, you absolutely have to do something different, and that's change.
Oh yeah, everyone's loving this girl. All the comments are like, battle the devil you don't know, or the angel you don't know. That needs to be your next quote card. All right, I'm going to bring up some questions because we've actually got some really strong ones. All right, here we go. I think this is relevant to a lot of people. This is from Sheetal Subban. Sorry, I'm sure I butchered that totally. How to let go of someone breaking your trust or betraying you?
The first thing I would say is, usually struggle with someone breaking our trust because we think, I was naive. I trusted someone before I should have. It was my fault. I should have protected myself. That's what we struggle with the most. We blame ourselves. But what if you told yourself, I trusted this person out of my belief in the goodness of other humans. I trusted someone because I knew somewhere deep down that I deserve someone to honor the trust that I'm extending to them. I deserve someone to love me properly. I deserve someone to be honest with me. And they decided not to do that. If they made that decision, there is no way you can tell internally when they're putting all the signs that they are someone who's trustworthy. You don't know their intentions. Yes, you might have a gut feeling, but if you spent your entire life not knowing who to trust, not knowing how to know who to trust, and somebody walks into your life and they're like, I care about you, I'm always going to be honest with you, and you take that risk of trusting them. You take that risk that maybe in the past you knew, I've tried trusting people, it didn't work out, there were red flags, but this one really seems like, you know, they're really trustworthy, and I took that risk, and then that person ended up breaking my trust. That's not my fault. That's me putting out the best intentions out there, me believing in someone probably more than they believed in themselves. And they made a decision to break that trust of mine. So how do you let go of it? I'm always going to give you the same answer. Feel the pain of them breaking your trust. You can, I'm making up this word, logicize it. You can make sense of it. You can put logic to it and say, they made a decision, it's not on me. But the truth is, it hurts. And if you don't let go of the hurt, it's going to be like, you know, when I was a child, I used to watch these cartoons with like a little boy holding a stick on his back with like a little, you know, pouch of like, I'm leaving. You carry that with you. Somebody breaking your trust, you carry that with you. If you don't feel it, feel it. Cry it out. Be angry that someone took such beauty out of you and decided to look at it and say, I'm breaking this all up. Feel it. You have to feel it. If you don't, you'll carry it around. You'll walk into the next relationship and somebody who really might be trustworthy is going to get the absolute worst out of you because you're going to look at them and say, I've experienced someone like you before who showed me that they're trustworthy and they turned out not to be. So I'm going to take it out on you. Feel it. It's going to be so painful. But once your body releases it, you will snap back into that authentic truth of who you are that says, I am someone who trusts people. I am someone who, if somebody walks into my life and they've made 99 mistakes, and they tell me I am trying my absolute best to not make that 100th mistake, I'm going to believe in them because I'm that kind of person. And if they choose to betray my trust, that's not going to be on me. And I'm not going to regret opening my heart and my soul and my vulnerability to them because I'm going to stick to who I am. They can stick to who they are. I will not. See, this is the other option that you have. It's to say, I'm somebody who will never trust somebody else again. I want to be alone. If you want that kind of life, you're never going to feel like the whole of who you are is truly and fully accepted and loved. And that's what you really, really want. So do not allow one person or two people or three people or 10 people who broke your trust to stop you from meeting that one person who's going to be worth it all and who's going to say, everything you've been through has prepared you to meet me and has prepared me to meet you. Let it go by feeling it and by going back to the truth of who you are.
Stop panning because that was so damn fine again. You dropped so many bombs and this is just
need to make a t-shirt that said that was so damn fire because you say it so.
I will girl.
You need to make it.
All right, I'm gonna make one just for you girl. But what I love about that Reason 732 of why I freaking adore you. She always pushed my thinking. Guys, surround yourself with people that push your thinking. So the reason why I say that is I was the same person. Like, I've done so much mindset, so much work on myself, as you know. And the, you know, somebody I felt like had used me and betrayed.
Yes, you are. I can hear you now.
Do you know somebody I felt like had really betrayed me? And we were talking about it and I was like, I don't know how to trust again, right? That was the thing that I was saying, is like, I was like, how did I miss this? Because I'm such a take ownership person. So when you're a take ownership person, the first thing you do is, oh my God, where did I give my trust too easily? What signs didn't I see? How did I miss things, right? And I go into that spiral. And in talking to you, what I love is that you basically were like, well, Lisa, don't make it a bad thing that you trusted somebody. Don't make it on you that somebody else took that trust and then betrayed them. And that was such a beautiful pivot. Now, I do think that over time, and someone actually asked this question, should we believe the person who let us down that they can change? And that was from Kate Mack. So thank you for that question, Kate Mack. And so that was where I go, okay, can I trust them again? What if I should just hold back the trust, because the pain of someone betraying you can be so hurtful that a protective mechanism is to say, oh, I don't want to feel this again. It's like, if you don't want to touch the hot stove, you don't touch it again, right? Like, that's the kind of lesson you learn. And so with trust, it's kind of the same, where my instinct is to, oh, if someone betrayed your trust, well, Lisa, just don't trust again. Now you're not going to get burnt. But to your point, it becomes so detrimental to future relationships, our own self-esteem, and it can really hinder future relationships that we want to get. And how many people actually do you hear say to you, well, I'm just never going to trust again, or I'm never going to get into a relationship again, or I'm never going to love again, because the hurt and the pain was so hard.
Yes, you're focused so much on not wanting to get hurt. So you say, I'm going to shut myself off to love, to respect, to someone valuing me, to someone really seeing me for who I am, just because I want to avoid the one possibility that I will get hurt. And I remember when you and I spoke, you said to me, one of the ways I'm dealing with it is to not take it personally. And I looked at you and I was like, do you remember this? And I was like,
coming out this week, guys. Literally, she calls me on it this week on Wednesday. She calls me on my stuff, which I appreciate,
well,
girl.
I don't think I called you out on it. I think we had a really respectful dialogue, because you were like, I decided I wasn't going to take it personally. And then I read in your book where you say take it personally. And I was like, so take it personally. Take it personally, because if somebody aimed an arrow at you, if somebody pointed a gun at you and shot you, even though you can logically say that didn't have to do with me, that was a choice they made out of their own anger, out of their own pain, out of their own hurt. But the truth is that bullet still went straight into my heart or straight into my soul. That still hurt. It could have nothing to do with you, but it still hurt you. So taking it personally doesn't mean sit there and dwell on it and say, what could I have done differently? Maybe they did that because I deserved it. Not that kind of taking it personally. I'm saying take it personally as in, if it hurt, it hurt. If it caused an injury to your heart, to your mind, to your soul, it needs time to heal. You wouldn't walk on a broken leg. So why would you walk on a broken heart or on a broken soul? Why would you? You need to take the time to say, you know what? I can sit here and try my absolute best to make sense of this. It doesn't make sense, because I know deep down I don't deserve that kind of pain. Your job isn't to make sense of it. Your job is to feel it. And the reason we stay away from feeling it is we know if I feel the pain of what they did to me or what they said to me, I'm going to be prompted to do something differently. I'm going to be prompted to change that relationship I have with them. And we're way too scared to do that, because we think if I break that bond, if I end that relationship, then we feel that guilt of giving up on someone. We feel like, you know, why was I put in a position where I had to end that? Maybe if they ended it, it would have been easier on me. So we stay away from feeling the pain so that we don't make that big decision and own it. And one of the things I love about you, and I think we need more of this in this world, is the fact that you're so introspective that when somebody hurts you, you're the one who sits there and says, what could I have done differently? You take responsibility. You reflect. You say, did I say something? Did I do something? That's what all of us need to do, is sit there and reflect. What could I have done differently? Because you know what? That's how relationships work and grow. You have to be willing to look at the other person and say, what did they need from me that I didn't give them? And unless you ask yourself that question and answer it honestly, you're not going to know whether you were in the wrong or not. But also, that's the only way to know, actually, I didn't do anything wrong. I was true to myself. I was true to them. I was honest with them. I extended my best support to them. I helped them so much. I welcomed them in into my life and into the community that I have. And they decided out of the blue to walk out of my life and not say a word. I watched a TikTok the other day that said, imagine how much pain you must be in to get a text message from someone. And instead of responding, you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get up and make myself a meal and never respond to this person again. Imagine how much pain you must be in. So when somebody ghosts you, when somebody decides to walk out of your life without explaining themselves, especially if you've done so much for them, when somebody decides to look at everything that you've shared together and say, I'm not even going to explain to you why I've changed my mind about you. Just think how much pain they must be in to not even say that to you, to not even communicate that to you. And then you can sit back and say, you know what? I'm real. I'm true. I'm authentic. I've been vulnerable. I don't blame that. I don't blame myself for that. The next relationship, the next friendship, the next work I go into, I'm still going to be my same self. And if they end up treating me the same way, they can walk out of my life the same way that everybody else has. The one truth is, the only constant in my life is myself. People can walk away from me. People can ghost me. People can betray me. They can break my trust. The only constant in my life is myself. I will never betray me. I will never lie to me. I will never walk out of my own life.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is so cool. You know, I get very excited when you say something that just like shift me. And like, this is why I do what I do and just like show up every day, because I'm always getting my mind blown with a different perspective that allows me to get that one step closer to my dreams and my goals. And so as people are listening to you now, the healing that can happen from your advice, from your book, is going to be instrumental. Obviously, it will never happen overnight. It has to be constant, right? And I love that. That's what's so empowering about your book, The Only Constant, because it is you, right? You can't control what other people do. You can't, as much as we wish we could, right? You can't control what other people say and do, but you can absolutely have a constant person in your life that always shows up. And that constant person is you.
Absolutely.
And I just pulled up a question, if you don't mind. I know it's not obviously a quick answer, but I felt like this was something that a lot of people struggle with. And so no matter what type of heartbreak you go through, I think a lot of us do suffer from heartbreak. And the problem with heartbreak, apart from the fact that it breaks your heart, it infiltrates every area of your life. And I do use the word infiltrate on purpose, because a broken heart can make your self-esteem go down. Your confidence has gone out the window. Your belief on love, your.
Yes.
If people are listening to this and they're like, I feel like I've got a broken heart, you just feel like lost. You don't even know where to go. Yeah. What are those first steps that someone can actually do right now in order to start mending that broken heart?
So I want to show Show you something. So the very first point I have in the chapter on changes we don't choose, such as somebody breaking our heart, is practice radical acceptance. The second one is grief. So with radical acceptance, I've always heard about radical acceptance, and I say to myself, I hate that because I don't accept it. Like, I would have never wanted that person to walk away from me. I would have never wanted that person to give up on me or break up with me. Like, why would I accept it? And then I understood that radical acceptance isn't just about saying, I'm okay with that. It's about acknowledging to yourself that if you had a say in this, you would want it to be different. It's to say to yourself, it is what it is. I wish it were different. I know for a fact that I would have wanted that to be different. When somebody walks out of your life, you can listen to all that dating advice that tells you you can find someone who's so much better, blah, blah, blah. It's not about that. Sure, you can find someone who's so much better, but you are dealing with the pain of, I love this person so much. I saw a future with them. I thought that we were going to go the distance. I thought this was the end of me trying to find someone because I finally found somebody who saw me for who I am and loved me for who I am. You're going through grief, and we don't want to feel it because grief, the way I describe it in The Only Constant, is it's like a tide or a wave that it just pulls you in. And you don't know when you're going to go back to the surface. But the secret is to know that whether you're trying or not, you're going to go back to the surface. That's just the nature of life. You're going to be pulled into that dark place where you don't see anything, where nothing matters around you because you're so sad. You're so maybe at one point in denial, but you know you're going to get back to the surface. So here's what I want somebody who's going through heartbreak to remember is before you get to the part where you get to the acceptance part, think of the cycle of grief or the stages of grief. You're going to go through the denial. You're going to go through the sadness, the anger, the depression, and then you get to acceptance. It's not like this quick thing where you're like, you know what? I could do so much better. Like I can find somebody who's better than that. But it's not about that. You need to go through the tough part where, yeah, maybe for 2 or 3 months, you're going to be in denial. You will not be able to see any kind of future without that person. You're going to miss every little thing. You're going to focus on all the good parts. Accept that. As long as you tell yourself every time you go through that motion of sadness where you're like, I want to call them. I want to text them. I want to go see them. Tell yourself, you know what? This is so normal. I'm still grieving a future that I had in mind, a life that I had in mind. I got used to waking up next to this person. I got used to texting them every time something great happened in my life. And now that's no longer there. So you turn your head without thinking and you say, oh, they're not there. And you go through that pain again. And so it's your job to be for yourself the soothing force that you need from them. And to say, you know what? You're sad right now because you're still getting used to the fact that this person who was always by your side, even not physically, but mentally or in your heart, they're not there anymore. You actually cannot reach out to them anymore. So you're going to go through those stages of coming to terms with reality and saying, oh, this is actually reality right now. I can't be in denial anymore. I'm going to be sad about it. I might be depressed about it. I might try in my mind to say, you know what, maybe I'll change that one thing about myself, or maybe I will mold into whatever they wanted me to be, and then everything would be great. And then you, as you're going through that, there is a voice from inside of you that will say, but is that really what you want? Like, didn't you want before you met them to be your full authentic self and feel accepted and loved for who you are? That's really what you wanted. And that's not what they were offering you. So are you willing to go back on yourself to be with them. So it's going to take a mix of feeling plus bringing what my therapist calls it, your inner wisdom to the table. That really tells you that inner wisdom is like, it doesn't matter if you're 30 or 60 or 100, doesn't matter what you look like, what physical space you're in. Your inner wisdom comes through and gives you the truth of what you need. So it's going to be a mix of those two. And heartbreak will be not something you get through, something you walk through day by day, minute by minute, second by second. And by the time you're over it, you might look back one day and say, you know what, that really could have been beautiful. But you will also say, thank, you know, during one of our interviews, you and I said something like, thank God. And then I stopped and I said, actually, I would like to say, thank myself, because I took myself out of that. I decided to not break myself into little pieces just so someone else could take me in or could absorb me or could accept me. Thank myself. So thank yourself for the things that you did that resisted you falling in line with what that person wanted. And ultimately, that led to your heartbreak, because what you wanted was for them to see you for who you are, and they resisted that. And you decided that resistance isn't going to change who I am. So yes, maybe the heartbreak was partly your fault, but maybe it was partly your decision.
Oh my God, girl, that was so strong. There were so many things there that I couldn't keep track of all the tips that you were giving. But the grief thing is really important for people to hear, because if somebody really close to you, if your partner, God forbid, died or passed away, you would expect someone, oh my God, take all the time. Like there's a process. Like everyone automatically would already know the types of things that you need to go through in order to heal. But we don't give ourselves that same grace when it is the heart.
No.
And the idea of, you know, just like if someone was in your life and you thought you were going to be friends with them forever and then you're not, right? Like you have to grieve that future that you thought you were going to have. So when it comes to a partner, you've already projected, at least with... Sorry, someone asked for me to share
the
answer. So the thing that for me and Tom, for instance, we've been together for 23 years, and you better believe I've actually envisioned the day that I die. Like, I know this sounds morbid, but I actually think it's actually a beautiful image. So it's the end of The Notebook for anyone listening. If you've watched The Notebook, basically, ideally, we're both lying in bed together and we both die together. Okay, that's my goal and my dream. But...
Well, when I think the two of you, that would happen, because you guys are just so in love that I'm like, these two can't survive without each other. Not in a like, you're so codependent. Mm. Not like that. It's like the two of you kind of give each other like the air you breathe. It's so obvious. Like when the two of you see each other after an interview or whatever, it's really, really obvious.
Thank you, girl. But imagine now, right, that I've already pictured what my life's going to be like in 50 years, because I plan to live till I'm over 100. So I've already envisioned that. So now, if God forbid, like, I'm just going to be honest, if God forbid my husband cheated on me, I now have to go through processing the next 30 or 40 or 50 years that I thought I was going to have. So it's not just that momentary grieving of today, I don't have this person in my life. It's I have to grieve 50 years of what I thought my life was going to look like. So I don't want, like, people think like we should get over it sooner, or like we can never love again. No, it just means that you have to go through a process.
Yeah.
And if you're able to embrace that process, just like we would a death, then I think we'll all be able to, you know, recover better, hopefully.
You have to give yourself permission to feel it all, to feel the pain of it, to not fall into what your ego says, which it's going to send you messages like, well, maybe I should work on becoming more physically attractive. Maybe I should have been more open to whatever it is that they wanted me to do or the way they wanted me to speak. You're going to fall into that where your ego says, well, maybe if you did something differently, things would have been different. But the acceptance part comes with understanding that it doesn't matter what you did or didn't do. Someone's character is always going to speak louder than the words they say to you, than the promises they make to you. They may have promised you to spend the rest of your life or their life with you. And out of the blue, you see, oh, they've cheated on me with somebody else. And I know people have different views on cheating. Like, you know, I've spoken to Esther Perel before. I've spoken to different people who talk about cheating and the psychology behind it and the logistics and whatever. But I always say somebody cheating on you doesn't take one step. It takes many. And it begins by them in some way walking away from you. In some way, walking away from themselves, because that self of theirs that is, I'm hoping, on some level, true to who they are, bonded to you in some way, made a promise to you. They've decided at some point, I want to be in your life for the rest of our lives. I want to be with you in a way where I honor and respect you. So for them to make that decision, that break, it really breaks. I hate it when people minimize the decision to cheat. It breaks that foundation of trust, of honesty, of loyalty, of we're going to spend our lives together. We're going to be loyal to each other. It breaks it apart. And all of a sudden, you're on that shaky foundation and you're like, was any of it real? Was any of it real? So I've heard people, this is really sad. I've heard, you know, I've sat in groups of women where if a woman that we knew got cheated on, they would say something like, well, did you see her? She never really took care of herself. Like, of course he was going to look somewhere else. Or did you see him? He could never make a decision. He was never decisive. Of course she was going to go for a more manly man. And I'm like, wow. Like, we are really saying that the fault for the decision that someone took to cheat is on the one who was cheated on. Like,
never
start there.
Ever, ever. I want anyone listening right now, I'm just going to echo what you said. Sorry to interrupt you, but you got me all fired up, girl. You got me fired up. Never, ever, ever is it your fault. Ever. Anyone listening right now, if anyone says it's your fault that you did something that you didn't show up, I don't care. I was going to swear, but just in case people have kids in the room, I do not want to, but I feel so damn strongly about this.
Yeah.
It is never your fault.
No.
Everyone has absolute control over them. I don't care how drunk you were. I don't care how long it's been since you've had sex. I don't care. Like, this is something I feel so damn strongly about, which is why I've done so many episodes on my channel about cheating, because it's never your fault. But I want to understand why. Sorry.
Yeah.
Very animated then. I just felt very strongly.
Of course. And I'm really happy that you brought that up, because I talk about it quite a bit in The Only Constant. There was one woman who walked up to me at an event, and she, you could tell she was in so much pain. And she goes to me, I really would love to get into another relationship, but the one I was in last, I was with him for a few years and I never thought he would cheat on me, and he cheated on me. And now every time I get into a relationship, as soon as it gets real, I pull away because I never want to feel that pain of being betrayed and my trust being broken. And I get that. Like, I've experienced knowing someone in such a pure, real way, and then being faced with the hard fact that, or truth, that they are not who I thought they were. And I know that pain. It really, it puts you through kind of an identity crisis, because you say to yourself, what did I miss? Like, what did I miss? And it's like, maybe you didn't miss anything. Maybe they made a decision on their own because their values are different. Their priorities are different. And you might sit there and ask yourself, well, why is it that they couldn't hold on to me? Like, they knew that their decision to cheat would break us apart. So why did they not make that sacrifice just to keep me in their life? And it's like, they probably were hoping that you would never find out. Their decision to cheat has absolutely nothing to do with whether you are worthy of being held on to or not. I remember, Lisa, I put like 10 sheets of paper in front of me during a time that I went through something like this. And I literally, one line after the other, wrote, I am worthy of being held on to. I am worthy of being held on to. I am worthy of being held on to. And I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And I put them all on my fridge so that I would always see them. Their decision to cheat on you wakes up this pain inside of you, this belief that you developed at some point in your life that says, maybe their decision to betray me, to leave me, to abandon me means I don't deserve to be held on to. I don't deserve someone to stay. That's what really hurts. So you need to go to that. Because like I say in The Only Constant, you can never guarantee that someone's not going to cheat on you. But you can guarantee that if somebody does, you can get through it. You can look at them and say, you know what? I loved the version of you that you showed me. I loved the idea of the future that we could have. But I, with my worth and everything that I know to be true about myself, cannot accept someone in my life who will choose not only to, you know, do something little, like maybe flirt with someone, but not let it lead to anybody. Some people, that's just how they speak. Not that, but you took a step after that and after that and after that to get you to a point where what you did actually jeopardized our entire relationship. Now, everything you told me and everything you might tell me and everything you did in the past and everything you might do, I don't know if I can trust it. So allow yourself to feel the pain of all of this. Don't sit there and listen to your friends or to that YouTube video that tells you, well, maybe you should have worn something differently. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should have given them more space. Maybe none of that, none of that can justify somebody making that decision. They can communicate it to you and say, you know what? I'm not happy anymore. But their inability to communicate that and to go behind your back and do something, that takes a lot more energy than it does to sit with you and tell you, I'm not feeling this anymore. Feel the pain of it, validate yourself, radically accept the truth of what happened and also yourself, as in, I am somebody who would never cheat. And I'm grateful that I'm like that. I'm somebody who trusts someone so much that when they decide to make a decision like that, I know that that doesn't mean I shouldn't have trusted them. It means they made a decision. So you go through a series of all of that and you get to a point where you tell yourself, that has nothing to do with me, and life goes on. And you know what? It might lead me to being with someone or on my own, as we said in our interview, remember? I think I had said something like, you might meet someone else. And then you said, and you might meet just yourself. Yes, that might be the way that your life is destined to be. And it might be a happy and beautiful life. But when something removes itself from your life that really isn't good for you, think about it. Physically speaking, let's say you got some kind of a growth in your body that just wasn't good for you and the doctor took it out. You still need, even though it's not good for you, you still need a period of time where you have it patched up. It's not allowed to be in the sun. It's very sensitive. You can't sleep on it. You have to put disinfectant on it for a while for it to heal. You know, this doesn't belong in my life, but it still hurts. So take the time until that part of you that trusted so hard heals.
That was such a great analogy. I didn't want to go. This is so down fire. Where can people find you? And then your new book that's coming out, The Only Constant. And then guys, this was literally only supposed to be 30 minutes. And I should have known, me and you, when we get together, we cannot stop talking. So guys, honestly, no. This has actually brought you value. Go and check out, we drop an episode this Wednesday, me and you girl, we talk about all of this. We go even deeper on it. So guys, either go over to YouTube or where you listen to podcasts, Women of Impact. And then where can people find your new book, girl, that comes out tomorrow?
Yes. So you can find The Only Constant literally wherever books are sold. Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Indigo, wherever you buy books, you can probably find it at your local bookstore. You can find me on right here on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everywhere. And I really just want to say that my goal with The Only Constant is for every person, once they read it, to feel like they have the power to change their life into whatever they want it to be. They have the power to lead the life that they want to lead, because most of us are stuck in places where we are made to feel like we need to chip away at ourselves in order for us to fit in or to feel loved. Once you let go of that needing to be included or loved controlling you, you will look at yourself and say, I am as free as a bird. Why am I not flying? Like, why am I putting myself in this cage that has the door wide open? So I want to empower you to walk past that cage, to walk past that survival mode of yours that really wasn't developed as a result of who you are. It was developed based on your environment when you were younger. So I want to empower you to walk past it, to go through that uncomfortable pain of saying, you know what? I am actually choosing to be uncomfortable. I am choosing to take myself out of this miserable comfort that I've been in. So go find it wherever books are sold. Listen to my episode with Lisa. Watch it on YouTube. You'll always see the tears flowing. Every single episode we've had together, I tear up. I want them all to watch it and watch all of your interviews, because you're honestly incredible. You're so real. And that's why I told you, you need that t-shirt that says, girl, that was so fire. You need it.
I'm going to go get one, Mago. Well, thank you so much. As always, you show up to serve so many people, and the amount of lives that you're changing and touching is so incredible. And I am just honored to be a witness of it and be by your side and support you. I love you. I'm so proud. Congratulations on the book, girl. And then, guys, honestly, she's brought so much damn value. If you actually want to know how to change, I'm telling you, this is the book for you. It's written beautifully, but she doesn't hold back any punches. She tells you the truth, exactly what you need in order to
move on. So, and you should tell them about your book too.
This is all about you. We'll do that another time.
But no, this is about you. You should also mention your book.
And I have a book called Radical Confidence. Go get it now. All right.
Yes, go get it. Get this book. There's a lot of hot pink on there.
There is. I love you so much, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, go be the hero of your own life. Peace out, guys. Later. Bye.